Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from the Lee and Keys Real Talk podcast. But tonight, we got the third annual fantasy football preview show. It's kind of crazy. It's been three years since we did this. But it's all good. We always have fun with this. We always give you guys good information to put you into your fantasy league. Make sure you have a good fantasy season. And me and my bro, we're going to talk about that. We'll probably be doing our fantasy show again this year. But, hey, Trace, you there, Trace?
I'm here. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, bro?
Nothing, man. So let me introduce my special co-host, 3 years running. We got my brother, Carl, out of Tampa Bay. What's up, bro? How you doing?
What's happening? Championship, Super Bowl champ fan right here, baby.
And then we got my boy, Tracy. You know, he out here in Colorado Springs, but he an ATL fan. What's up, Trace?
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody out there doing today? Glad to be back for another show.
Oh, man, I'm glad to have you guys back on. We have fun with this show. It's kind of, Tracy actually reached out, was like, yo, man, we doing the show? I was like, yeah, we just got to work out a date and time. So, yeah, man. But look, we got a lot to get to. Hopefully we get it all in an hour because I know my bro got something he got to do. But look, man, first topic, man, I'm going to come to you first, Carl. You know, I'll call you a Tampa Bay team. You're a Tampa Bay fan. So give me some fantasy nuggets about your team.
Well, as we all know, we brought back everybody. Hey, not just we brought back everybody, but, you know, we got the GOAT still. Got another year, maybe two. And you know, I know a lot of people are fantasy wise are concerned with the wide receiver position being too deep. I will tell you not to concern yourself with that. Pick a player. Any one of them can be your third starter. Whether it be Evans will be your number one, but I'm getting down to even, you know, a gem like AB's because he's been doing crazy in training camp, and I think he could be a third starter for anybody, even though, you know, we run a good, you know, half 50% of three wide receivers, and he's going to get that ball. So don't be afraid to get him either, man. Hey, look, Tampa Bay, fantasy-wise, top five offense.
Okay, top five, okay. What about the running back position? What are we looking at?
Well, it's still up in the air. I mean, they got Ron Jones listed as a starter, but, you know, Leonard Fournette is going to get his carries. I think it's going to be pretty much split down the middle with Geo Spellin on third down.
Okay.
I do worry about the running back position, but, you know, it's only because no one has stepped up and said it's my job.
Man, see, that's worrisome to me. I mean, but if I get a chance to take either Fournette or Jones for the regular season, I'll probably roll with Jones. I just think Jones just gives them much more. Although both of them can catch the ball. But I like Jones more than I like Fournette in the regular season. I think once they get to the postseason, they might try to lean on Fournette a little more than Jones. But all right. Mm-hmm. All right, Tracy, let's talk about your Falcons, man. Give us a fantasy projections for the Falcons, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to do mine a little bit different than the way Bro did his. I'm just going to kind of go by the main guys you need to pay attention to and just kind of run it from there. So, of course, you know, Matt Ryan, you know, Atlanta's my team, but I realize Matt Ryan is a better regular, like in real life, quarterback than he is a fantasy quarterback. So in fantasy, I'm thinking you use him during your bye week. And the main reason I say that is because Atlanta keeps going through these offensive coordinators. This is his fourth offensive coordinator in just 5 years. And every year in the first year, he struggles. And the second year is when he gets it. He may do a little bit better this year because I know they use some of the same principles that Shanahan was using when he was the coordinator. So that might help out a little bit. But like I said, he's had Shanahan, he had Sarkisian, he had Cutter, and now he has Dave Ragone, who is the actual offensive coordinator, even though we know Arthur Smith is going to have input since he's an offensive-minded head coach. And with Matt Ryan, he just doesn't throw enough touchdowns to be a real good fantasy quarterback. Matter of fact, in his whole career, he's only thrown over 30 touchdowns 3 times, and he's been around for 13 years. Yeah, exactly, and that was one of the years that he did it. And he doesn't run, so you don't really get much out of him with that. So that's why I said he is a better real-life quarterback than he is a fantasy quarterback, because fantasy quarterbacks are all about touchdowns or get you one of those guys that can run the ball. And so the only good thing that I can say in his favor is that maybe the new coach can get him to that next level like he did with Ryan Tannehill. Because remember, Tannehill was nothing before he got to Tennessee. Now all of a sudden, he's a good quarterback, and people actually look at him in fantasy as somebody you might be able to get. But with Matt Ryan, I'm looking for about 4,600 yards passing, probably about 29 touchdowns. As far as the running backs go, Mike Davis was a nice pickup. It's like, a cheap addition because Atlanta has salary cap issues. Last year he did a pretty good job in McCaffrey's place. He had 6 touchdowns, caught 59 passes, but he only averaged 3.9 yards a carry, and that worries me because Atlanta does not have the best line. And so the other thing with that is his long run of the year was only 25 yards. So, I mean, he's not exactly a breakaway guy. He just kind of they don't really have anybody else, or at least that's what I was saying before they picked up Wayne Gallman. They just got him like yesterday or the day before. And I've always liked him. I don't know why the Giants let him go. He may get a handful of reps for Atlanta, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't necessarily want either one of these guys because kind of like what Carl was saying with his squad, you really don't know who's going to be the guy that you can count on. It could be one guy this week. It could be the other guy the next week. There's just too many other options out there that you can get at. So I would probably stay away from both of them. Calvin Ridley, I mean, everybody knows that Calvin Ridley is probably one of the top 5 options in fantasy football, and that's not even speaking as a homer. That's just fact. And so his thing to me, he's Atlanta's unquestioned number one. The only thing that worries me about him, there's 2 things, new offense, and he struggles with nagging injuries. So when he's good, he's really good, but then, he has a toe injury, but then he has a knee tweak. And then he'll either play a very short amount of time and not get you any points, or he just won't play at all. So those are the only things that bother me about him. But if he can play in every game and stay healthy, he's got a shot at being the top wide receiver in fantasy football. At tight end, Kyle Pitts, you run the gamut with Kyle Pitts. Somebody thinks he's the second coming. The other person thinks he's overrated. Yet another thing they'll tell you, tight ends never do anything as rookies. And that's true. What I think sets him apart is he's not really strictly a tight end because they're going to move him all over the place in these formations. And just like we talked about in our last fantasy thing where somebody had pointed him out as somebody to look at, this dude's going to be good. And again, this is not just a homer pick. He is going to be good because he's already proven it at Florida. Even in the little bit of time that he's played so far in the NFL, people are already saying, look at this guy. He's going to make a big difference. So I expect big things from him. And other than that, you got a couple of other guys if you're desperate. Russell Gage was a name that people were throwing around. I probably wouldn't necessarily pick him unless you need somebody on a bye because Ridley and Pitts are going to soak up all the catches, and then he's going to have to get the leftovers. Same thing for Hayden Hurst. If you're in a position where you need somebody because you just need to get through a bye, you can try Hayden Hurst. You might get lucky, but I don't know necessarily about drafting either one of those guys.
Yeah, man. I'm kind of the same way with the Washington football team. I think Fitzpatrick could be a serviceable quarterback too, but I think you basically play him against weak defenses. I probably want to play him against top-notch defenses because he can be kind of inconsistent.
And then, you know, as far as, like, our running back, Gibson, everybody saying he first round. But me, if I'm drafting in the first round and he's available, it all depends on who else is on the board. I like Gibson as a pass catcher, but as a pure rusher, he hasn't showed me that yet. So I would have probably had him more as an RB2 than an RB1. And then McKissick, McKissick is a deep dive, probably somebody you have on the bench or use as a bi-week flex or something like that. But the guy everybody should be looking at is Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 1. I think he's going to have a big year with Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick tend to throw the ball to his wide receivers more than he do tight end, so McLaurin should have a good year. And with that being said, Logan Thomas, he might take a dip this year because Fitzpatrick really doesn't throw to tight ends that much. Although he did make Gesicki kind of sort of a fantasy darling last year with the Dolphins. I probably want to draft our kicker. Definitely take our defense. I know Carter said about Tampa's defense, but I think Tampa and Washington's defenses should be drafted. And probably Ryan Suckup as the Tampa kicker should be drafted also. And your kicker in Atlanta should be drafted also, Tracy. Our kicker,
yeah, Young Way.
I don't trust him enough. So, I don't know. What you say, Tracy?
No, I was just saying his name, Young Way Koo.
Yeah, he should be drafted. But outside of that, for us, I say Fitzpatrick is a QB2. Gibson, I have him as an RB2. McLaurin as the wide receiver 1. And Logan Thomas, just because tight end isn't that deep, he'll be a tight end 1. So, I think that's where we at with that with the Washington football team. But, hey, like me and bro say, we got to see how it play out on the field. Gage could be a big time. He probably could have a good year. I'm not really trusting Curtis Samuel too much because he already hurt. So I don't even know who our second wide receiver going to be. So, but it is what it is. But let's jump to the next topic. I'm going to come at you first, Tracy, on this one. Every year, we do fantasy. We got to talk about the rookies. Give me a rookie you got your eye on and why.
Okay, let's see. For me, I'm going to say Jalen Waddle with the Dolphins. And the reason I use him is because he's a game changer. Because this dude has all the speed. Jalen Waddle.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. So, but anyway, he has a connection with Tua because they played together in college. Like I said, he's a game changer. He's got speed. And the main thing, the reason I say him is because their other wide receivers can't stay healthy. Because I know they got Preston Williams. Preston Williams got hurt very early last year. We know they got Devontae Parker. Every year Devontae Parker is supposed to break out. I think they've been saying that 4 or 5 years running now, and he never really has done it more than a week or two consecutively. And I know they got Will Fuller too, but he's yet another one that's injury prone. Plus he's suspended. So, and then you got Mike Gesicki. He's a good tight end. I think somebody may have mentioned him just a few minutes ago. But he's another one that gets dinged up. So I think as long as Jalen Waddle can stay healthy and, like I said, build on that connection he already has with Tua, you need to pay attention to what this dude is going to be doing because I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be there all the time. So that gives him an opportunity to soak up these targets, and then he should be able to have a great rookie season based on that.
All right, Jalen Waddle. I wrote it down, Miami. All right, bro, who you got?
Well, Tracy gave me my props. Thanks for bringing up what I said at the last session about my man Kyle Pitts being an incoming player on the radar. I think y'all got a gem in that dude. I think with the release of Julio or trade or whatever you want to call it, all you got is Calvin Ridley, pretty much, like you said, and Russell Gage being a bye week starter. You got Hayden Hurst down as the starter, the tight end, but Kyle Pitts is going to play, as you said, all over the field. He's a matchup nightmare no matter what. So,
okay. So you got Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is going to be, I mean, look, I'm, you know, as a Tampa Bay fan, you know, I'm worried about Kyle Pitts.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I'm worried about how we're going to match up with him. You know, if we have to put a third cornerback on him, or we're going to walk out, you know, we're going to walk Devontae out, or, you know, I don't know what we're going to do to match up with this dude. I've seen it too many times. And, you know.
Oh, that's why you're a Gator fan. I got to let the people know you're a Gator fan, so you're very familiar with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, very
I just had to let them know, you know, give them a little bit of backstory.
Perspective.
Yeah, you know, I just got to let them know, man. Hey, but look, I'm going to go with a guy that's actually been drafted kind of high, and he's on a bad team, man. I'm going with the running back from the Jets, Michael Carter. I know Devontae Williams is the better of the running backs from North Carolina, the end of the draft this year, but Carter is going to have a lot of chances, being that the Jets going to be trailing a lot. He can run it, he can catch it, and especially in the PPR league, I think he'll be a PPR darling because of the dump balls, the screens, and with that offensive line being so bad, they're not able to give you know, Zach Wilson enough time. And also, he's strong enough to score from the goal line, so you ain't really got to worry about Tevin Coleman vulturing goal line carries from him. So I would say look for more Michael Carter, especially in PPR leagues, because he's going to catch, I say, anywhere between 3 to 4 passes a game, and he's probably going to run it anywhere from 10 to 12 times a game. So I would definitely look at Michael Carter as a rookie, probably to, you know, take in later rounds. I wouldn't actually – I think he's going as early as the 4th, maybe 5th round. I think that's a little too rich for my blood.
Oh,
I'll probably look at probably trying to snatch him in the 7th or the 8th round. All right,
you know, the other thing with him real quick is that there's nobody else there. So he's going to get a bunch of carries because they don't have any other running backs, was noted.
Well, they got the P-Ron kid from Florida there, LaMichael P-Ron.
He
they got him. Did he hurt already?
He hurt right now, but he should be all right.
See?
Yeah.
Man, okay.
He might be
related
to Samaji P-Ron.
Yeah, because Samaji is in Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah, that's
he was with the Washington football team.
Yeah, that's
he was
the only reason I bought him
up. Yeah, man. That's what's up. All right, man, bounce back player of the year. I'm going to go ahead and jump in here on this one. And I'm going with a guy that I think I took him in 2 drafts already. I'm going with Antonio Brown, man. I think AB is going to have a big year playing with the Bucs in that 3 wide receiver set. He's going to play both outside and the slot. I think him and Godwin are going to be interchangeable. I think Mike Evans is clearly going to be on the outside. And I think with a full training camp, fully healthy, and he's going to know the system fully. And the main thing is Brady trusts him, dog. And I think that trust that Brady has in him, and depending on matchups, I think he's going to have a big year. I'd be surprised if he doesn't have over 700 yards. I'd say maybe over 800 yards and at least 6 touchdowns for AB. I just got that faith in him, man. And I took him in a fantasy draft, and one of the grades I got, it was kind of low for my taste, but they said it was a reach to take him. But, you know, I'm big on AB this year. All right, Carl, who you got as your bounce back player this year, bro?
My bounce back player is Joe Burrow. I think this will be the year. I mean, he only played 10 games last year. So I think with the addition, the offense that he got with Jamar Chase, running back position is kind of iffy, as we know. So I think he's gonna throw the ball more so than they run it with Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. They're running three wide receiver offense. He get plenty of opportunities. I picked him as a backup quarterback. That's how much I think that he's gonna perform. Where he can fill in the pitch if my main guy goes down, I think I'd be comfortable with him and that offense with him tossing the ball around.
You know what? And I'm kind of glad they played him in that last preseason game just so he can get out there and, you know, put the knee to the test with some live competition. But let me ask you this, bro. Mm-hmm. Two questions. Who's the number one wide receiver, and do you think Jamar Chase gets those drops out of his system early in the season?
Yeah, I think he gets the drops away. I'm not worried about that. Dude is he's a stud. You know, I think he can do it. But I'm kind of torn between Boyd and Higgins being who's the number one. Is it safe to say a 1A and a 1B with that?
Yeah, you can.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'm not quite sure. Like, if I'm looking at my draft board and I need a wide receiver and I'm looking at them, I'm guessing I may have to say, okay, give me Tyler Boyd based on the fact that
okay.
I can get some more points out of the punt return from him.
Yeah, because I was thinking that the other day. I was like, man, everywhere you look, they got Jamar Chase ranked above Tyler Boyd. And Tyler Boyd had a solid season the last couple of years. He's actually been a pretty good fantasy wide receiver the last couple of years. And I'm like, he's proven, and Jamar Chase, you're going off potential. But me, I would take Boyd, but I think I would take T. Higgins above Jamar Chase. That's just me. All right, Trey, so you guys are bounce right there, bro. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say real quick, I definitely would take T. Higgins. The reason why you have these guys going over Tyler Boyd, Tyler Boyd isn't explosive. Tyler Boyd actually is just, you know, he's safe. Kind of like what you guys were saying, you already know what you're going to get, and that's pretty much all you're going to get. But both of these guys, Chase and Higgins, they got that upside to where they can explode. You'd be like, boy, I'm glad I picked him in X round because he did better than all these guys that got picked before him. So I think that's why that's happened.
Yeah, man, I'm just worried about Jamar, man, because, man, them drops, man, sometimes they can get in your head, bro. And he was dropping, like, wide receiver screens. One time he dropped a pass, and they showed the highlight that he was about to get hit. And I'm like, bro, you in the NFL? Come on, man. Come on, bro.
Yeah, but real quick on that. Real quick, I know y'all some NFL veterans, so when I say this, you'll remember it. Remember when Jerry Rice first came in the NFL and he just dropped everything? And they was like, oh, this guy's a bust. And remember that playoff game when he got chased down and they made him drive, he fumbled it or whatever? And so he had this problem too. And I'm not saying this guy's going to be Jerry Rice, but I'm just saying we have seen this before where it can be corrected. And the other thing that you got to remember is this dude hadn't played football in what? He didn't play at all last year. So he's giving this entire season. So it's going to take him in a minute to get himself together. So I think we always hear about people getting hyped. And so now with him, there's unhyped to where, oh, he's not as good as we thought. Don't believe the unhyped. He's going to be fine.
Okay,
yeah,
so who
I
your
think,
bounce back player? Go
ahead,
Carl.
Go ahead, Carl.
No, I was just going to add that the wide receiver position is known to come in, especially the top guys for some reason, and they got the drop. Earlier, Mike Evans had to drop the first 2 years.
Yeah, true.
You know, they come in and, you know, it's a different ball. You know, you're trying to get that situation rectified. And then you got a quarterback that's throwing this ball that you're not used to because you've been getting thrown to by one guy for 4 years, 3 or 4 years. So you're adjusting to that as well. So being coming off the ball differently, all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, they get paid millions of dollars, and we expect them to catch the ball.
Yeah, there you go. Imagine that.
Damn right. All right, Trey, so your bounce back player, Trey?
My bounce back player is Courtland Sutton. Here's why. 72 catches, 1,112 yards, 6 touchdowns. Those were his stats back in 2019 when he played a full season. Now, on top of that, realize that his quarterbacks were Joe Flacco, who was washed up when he was with the Broncos, and then also Drew Locke, who was just trying to get his feet wet at that time. And he still had these great statistics. Of course, he got hurt last year, only had 3 catches. So this year, from my understanding, he's getting back into the swing of things. He's starting to trust his body, and he's getting to where he needs to be. Teddy Bridgewater is not a great quarterback, but he's better than those other two quarterbacks that I said. And so I just think that this guy is the number one guy. He's the unquestioned number one wide receiver for the Broncos. So I think he can probably do even better than the statistics that you heard me say. And I think for the most part, if you can get 72 catches, 1,112 yards, and 6 touchdowns from a wide receiver, you'd like to see more touchdowns, and I think he can do that. I think that's a good season. And so that's my expectation for him.
Man, and you know what, man? I like Sutton, but I just think Sutton is going to be the number one guy because he's big. But I think Judy has the most upside, man. But I think Teddy is going to trust Sutton more than Judy, especially in the red zone.
Oh, absolutely.
All right,
and
man.
Then Judy also had that problem real quick that we talked about with the drops. He had that problem last year, so I'm assuming that he'll get it correct. These Alabama wide receivers, they usually pan out. So I think he'll be fine.
I think Judy, his problem is he let the ball get to his body too much. He needs to catch the ball with his hands.
Lets
the body – yeah. Because if you look, like, especially, like, when he catches slants, normally it's, like, mostly body catches. It's not hand catches. If it's a hand catch, you normally can catch it and keep going. If it's a body catch,
right,
it normally slows you down just a little bit where the defender can recover to make the tackle. But I do like Sutton in the red zone. I think Judy is going to be the possession receiver. And Tim Patrick, I like him too. I think Patrick might be the odd man out, dude. Yeah,
him
I think
and KJ
they got Hamler too. Yeah, they got Hamler too. Yep. So I think Patrick is going to be the odd man out. I think Hamler is going to be the deep threat. And we know they got Noah Fant to patrol the middle of the field. And Javonte can catch the ball out the backfield. Melvin Gordon, man, might be the hard man out, man. But they did cut Royce Freeman today. So they did cut Royce Freeman today. So we already know it's going to be Williams and Gordon. So we'll see how it go. All right, bro.
Right.
This is the bad part of the show. But we got to be honest with the people. Who is a player you're not going to draft?
I'm not going to stick to a particular player. I'm just going to go to a whole backfield. That's Arizona.
Oh, man. All right. I can't wait.
Did you say the whole Arizona backfield?
The whole Arizona backfield with exception of the quarterback. I draft the quarterback in a heartbeat. But David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, it's
that's
like
Houston.
Whack-a-mole. You don't know.
That's Houston, bro.
Oh, you're talking about the Texans, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead. I'm with you now.
It's not playing whack-a-mole. You don't know who's going to get the ball, so why are you going to draft either one of them? I mean, you don't even want to put those guys on your bench because it's going to be a waste of time. You don't know who's going to get the ball at any time. Who you going to be your first two-down back? Who will be a third down back? Who come, you know, because they saying Mark Ingram may be the third down back, but his prowess of catching the ball ain't that good. I mean, he can do it, but is that somebody you want, or you'd rather Phil Lindsay do that?
Yeah, that sounds like bad coaching there, because I would have Lindsay more as a third down back than I would have Ingram. But David Johnson is the one that's actually proven to be the good pass catcher.
I would probably hire Lindsey as the change of pace, Ingram as the goal line, and David Johnson the 20 to the 20 if I was coaching. But I'm not the coach.
Yeah, that coach did right. One and done.
Man, and then with the whole Deshaun Watson fiasco, I definitely – and you know what, man, sometimes you got to take a job when it's offered to you. I mean, because there's nothing like being one of 32.
You wasn't going to get none otherwise. You're right.
But, bro, I know he was like, man, come on. Deshaun won out. We got Tyrod Taylor and some kid. Man, bro. Whew, I'm wishing him all the luck in the world, man. Hopefully the organization stick behind him. But, man, it's going to be a tough year for Houston, man.
They may not win but one game, if that.
I was going to say that one game might be Jacksonville, but I think Jacksonville might get them twice.
Oh, Jacksonville will be okay. Houston is awful, but we know how the NFL is. At least once a year, a super bad team beats a super good team. So it'll be like the Colts or, you know, it'll be somebody else that just takes them lightly and they just happen to play a perfect game. But we'll see.
All right, man. Tracy, give the people some bad news. Who's on your do not draft list?
If they're needing to hear this from me, they're in trouble already because they probably already drafted him, but I'm going to tell them anyway. Odell Beckham Jr., don't do it.
Yes.
If you haven't done it, don't do it. Listen to these stats right here. 97 receptions, 1,354 yards, 7 touchdowns. That sounds really good, right? That sounds like a great season for a wide receiver. That's what Odell Beckham has done over the last 2 seasons put together. Put together.
Wow.
I'll say it again. Put together. Not just 1 year. So last year, and I know people will say he got hurt, but he played in 7 games. He had 23 catches, 319 yards. Does that sound like somebody that you should be trying to get in these drafts? And you know he's going to get high just based on his name. I'm not picking him. I'm not picking him anywhere. Because ultimately what you're going to wind up having to do is cut him when he gets hurt and you got to pick up somebody else. Here's the other reason I don't like him. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. The Browns ran the ball 495 times last year. I don't know if any other team in the league ran the ball more than they passed it. But they did. They only passed it 486 times. So obviously running is what their focus is. And look how good they were last year. That's not changing. Then you got Jarvis Landry. He's going to soak up catches. You got Austin Hooper. Whatever you think about him, he's going to catch at least 3 passes a game. Even somebody like Rashad Higgins, they're going to target him a couple of times a game. And then don't forget Njoku is still there at tight end. So you got a lot of guys that they're going to try to have to work in and try to get involved in the offense. So he's just not going to be what he was with the Giants. Even if he does play the whole year, I just think he's going to disappoint a lot of people, and I'm just not feeling his game. To me, he hasn't been the same since he was with the Giants. So that's why I say I would not pick him. My recommendation is unless you can literally get him in like round 13 or something, I guess you'd probably do it there. Otherwise, don't pick this dude.
All right, let's talk some real football real quick. Real football. Y'all think the Browns should have traded him?
Yeah.
Because he had a market. Green Bay was interested in him. I want to say Seattle had a little bit of interest. It was another team. I can't think of the other team right now on top of my head, but it was a couple teams out there that had a little bit of interest in them. Y'all think they should have traded them?
Absolutely, they should have traded them because his value is never going to be what it used to be. So basically now you have to take them for pennies on the dollar. Kind of like what Atlanta had to do with Julio because people knew they had to get rid of him, and they got rid of him for pennies on the dollar. You know who's very similar in a completely different sport? Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is just kind of sitting out there, and everybody knows that 76ers want to move him. He's flawed. He's really good at certain things, but they're going to have to take pennies on the dollar right now unless they can keep him until the season starts and build him up and then trade him. So, yeah, I think they probably missed the boat as far as trading Odell Beckham Jr.
What you think, Big Bro?
I feel like I think that, first of all, Odell's on the wrong team. He's on a run first team. But I also think, to his detriment, his diva attitude is not going to serve him well. He's going to end up being like Cam. He'll be out the league in the next 2 years, and it won't be really because of talent.
See?
You know, he just put too much out there, you know, too much bad energy out there where everybody be like, stay away from this guy.
Wow.
I think if he went to a team like Green Bay or if he went to a team like Seattle, team that will throw the ball around, if he ended up, let's say, back in New York with Buffalo, with Josh Allen, you know, somewhere like that where they're slinging the ball around, he could make a difference. But a run first team, it's only a matter of time before his attitude shows up and he, you know, the chemistry with the team is gone.
Yeah, man. I totally agree, man. And I'm an Odell fan, man. And it's like, it's just tough to see that he's been hurt so much the last couple of years. And then he gets traded to a run-first team, and he's really not a possession receiver like Lansley is. So it's like he's boom or bust when it comes to fantasy. It's like, is he going to have a 50-yard touchdown, run a reverse or something? I mean, it's just sad that a guy with that kind of talent, that when you draft him, you hoping that he's a boom, not a bust player. And like you guys are saying, is if he can't rediscover his form, man, somebody's gonna have to trade for him, put him in the system, and feature him as the number one. But to do that, you gotta have a good quarterback. You gotta have a good quarterback. He can't go play with a young quarterback, you know. I mean, I know he keeps throwing out that he want to play for the Patriots, but hell, the Patriots going to be a run first team too for the next couple of years.
Yeah, they're not
while Mac Jones develops.
Yeah, they're not trying to bring him in. He's just like Carl said, he's too disruptive, and so good teams aren't going to want him because they already got their what they want established. So he's going to wind up having to go someplace where he doesn't want to go, and then he's going to be a problem still. So I don't know what to do. Like Carl said, though, he's
all right, man. Well, I'm going to keep this for short.
You got to be a veteran quarterback. Got to be a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
Got to be a veteran quarterback. You got to be.
Yeah, got to be somebody who we respect to tell him to sit down.
Yeah, I'm going to keep mine short. Of course, y'all know how I feel about Saquon. I done had him. Both times he's been hurt, he's been on my team. So I'm shying away from him. But my guy that I'm not drafting is DeAndre Swift. They had him going as early as the second and third round. I'm not drafting DeAndre Swift. He stays hurt. And when the offensive coordinator comes out and says he sees the backup as the RB1, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's awful.
When the offensive coordinator come out and say that, man, I can't draft you. Especially in most of these rankings, they have him going second, third round. Nah, bro, I can't do that if your offensive coordinator don't have no confidence in you. All right, man, let's go kind of quick on this one. Tracy, I'm gonna come to you on this one first. Give me a late round gem or a cuff that you drafted.
All right, here's my late round gem: Jonnu Smith, tight end, New England Patriots. Here's why. He's going in the 12th round or later in most drafts. I think people kind of forgot about him. And then they think, oh, well, the Patriots got Hunter Henry, too. You can't pick him. Well, they need to remember that the Patriots run two tight end sets all the time and that the Patriots' number one wide receivers are Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. All right, come on, man. Those guys are not elite wide receivers. And then we all know that tight ends are rookie quarterbacks' best friends. And so I think he's going to get a lot of looks. I think Hunter Henry is going to be hurt a lot, which means he's going to get even more looks. And then, like I said, based on those two guys being their number one wide receivers, he's just better than they are, in my opinion. Those guys are decent, but I just think that the Jonnu Smith, for where you can get him, is a really good pickup.
Man, I didn't even think about Jonnu, man, because I was leaning towards Hunter Henry being the guy. But, okay. All right, Carl, who your late-round gem, bro?
Man, my late-round gem is somebody who normally would go in the first or second round, and that's Michael Thomas. He's missing the first this game. Everybody is hiding, staying away from that dude. Draft your starters first, and then stash that dude. I did it in two leagues. Everybody stay away from him. I got him in the ninth round. I got him in the 12th round. You know, and every time I did,
like
somebody said,
round.
Yeah. And, well, you know, when I got him in the ninth, I had my Robert T's were locked in. I was just kind of filling out my bench, you know. And
right.
There he was. I mean, six, you know, I could sit him for 6 weeks. I got no problem with that. And see what he do. Come playoff time, Jameis, we all know Jameis slings the ball. He's going to throw the deep ball. He's going to throw some interceptions, yeah, but I don't care nothing about that. He ain't on my team anymore. Throw it to Michael Thomas, and let's see what happens.
Man, and I think I took Thomas in a draft that me and you was in, Carl. I think I took him probably in the 11th round, I think. I think I got him in the 11th. Yeah, because I took him late, too. I was like, man, I can't believe he's still on the board. So, but I'm gonna go another way, man. I was leaning towards the guy that's going to fill in for Michael Thomas, Marquez Callaway. But I'm going to go with this guy, man, that's definitely flying under the radar, and that's Mecole Coleman from Kansas City. He's not being drafted to, like, the 10th, 11th, 12th round. And he's going to have a good year because he's going to be the undoubted number two wide receiver. I mean, we already know Kelsey and Tyreek are going to be 1A and 1B. So, but I look for him to have a big year, especially with Sammy Watkins going. He got the run out of the catchability. And we know Andy Reid wants to throw the ball. Plus, he can do all the routes in the route tree, so he can get you the third and five. And he can also run the deep post. And I think with Tyreek and Kelsey, he's going to see a lot of one-on-one coverage. If he can beat one-on-one coverage, he should have a good season. So I'm looking at Mecole Hardman, man, as far as a late-round steal, you know, as far as in this draft, you know, as far as fantasy-wise. We're going to go ahead and skip down to overrated and underrated. We're going to skip one topic. We might come back to it. We have enough time. All right,
man.
All right, fuck it, let's do it. Okay, draft strategy. You know, it's funny when you enter a draft and you get to a draft position, and sometimes when you look at the draft position, you're like, oh man, I ain't want to draft here. And me, I hate drafting in the top four or five in the draft. I like drafting 5 through 8. I even go 9 through 12, but I like being in the middle. So, Tracy, I'm going to come with you, man. What's your draft strategy, picks 1 through 4?
Man, you already know the answer to that.
I do know, but the people don't know.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right, I'll accept that. Okay, listen to the people out there.
Okay,
hold on. Four,
no,
what's that?
No, let me rephrase the question. Not first round. Second and third.
Okay, that makes a little bit different. Okay, second round picks 1 through 4. For me, and this is new, this is something that I'm trying to do, and this explains why I picked Kyle Pitts the other day. Y'all was kind of like, that's a home pick. Hey, man, I was forced to do it. The reason why I say that is because, to me, I want to try to get one of those elite tight ends as soon as I can. I'm not picking one in the first round. But in the second round, Kelsey will probably be gone. But if I can get Kittle or Waller, you know, that's what I want to try to do, because there's only so many really good tight ends out there. There's three acknowledged ones, and that's the ones we already said. And I think Pitts can be one of those guys. And so that's why I was like, okay, I kind of got to get him now because I missed out on the other one. So if you're in the early second round, picks 1 through 4, you need to get you one of those elite tight ends.
Okay, all right. So what you looking at in the third round, Paul? Wide receiver, or are you going by RB?
I'm going to try to go RB. It's basically going to depend on who's there. If you got a pretty good running back that's still available, that's always going to be my first choice. Wide receivers, you normally have more of them that are in that range. Like nobody even really comes to mind, but you guys know what I'm talking about, where he's a serviceable guy. He's not going to be a number one guy. He'll probably pop a week here and there where he's really good, but he's consistent and you can count on him to give you steady points every week. That's what I'm looking for there.
Okay. All right, bro. You got the middle. You got the middle picks 5 through 8. What's your draft strategy?
Well, 5 through 8. I already got queued up. 9 times 10, I got a runner back queued up. If I'm at the 5 slot, 5, especially 5. But I had a draft slot in the 8 slot, and I was like, yes, I was excited because I felt like I was texting you because at number 8. I'm drafting again in 5 more picks. So
yep.
I got a bevy, within a 10-team league, I got a bevy of opportunities here to make my team better than the guy who had the first pick off the bat. Because it's flipping right back to me, So I'm going running back, and then I probably will, based on what's available, I probably would draft another running back-to-back, a la Mr. White. I'd probably get two right off the bat from that position because I feel like I'm at a disadvantage, but I make it an advantage. So if I grab two, come that third round, guaranteeing everybody should know I'm going to get a wide receiver. If you're in front of me, you better get yours because you can look at my watch and say, okay, I know this dude's about to get a wide receiver. I better get
right.
Mine.
There you go.
Yeah, I think for me with picks 9 through 12, this is where you have to be really, really smart and really, really cautious. You can't be over aggressive. What I mean by that is you can't try to anticipate what the rest of the room is going to do because you don't know what 11 other guys going to do with their draft picks. So you got to fill your roster based on your scoring and what you feel is important. I would call on this. If I'm 9 through 12, I'm definitely taking a running back, probably with my first round pick, and then coming back, depending on which wide receivers fail, I might take a wide out. I might go running back wide out, and then when it comes back to the third or fourth round, if I got a good tight end there, I'm going to go tight end. And then when they come back, try to get another running back. But it all depends on, once again, the scoring. And if it's a PPR. If it's PPR, I'm definitely going to look at getting a running back that can catch the ball as well as running the ball. And if it's non-PPR, I'm probably going to take the best available player. So, but the things about picks 9 through 12, Don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
And you might, in this part of the draft, a lot of people, what they do is they take quarterbacks really, really early, which I think is a mistake.
God.
If you pick 9 through 12, don't panic when they go on the quarterback run. Do not panic.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to adjust your game plan. But don't panic when everybody start going on the quarterback run. Because normally what happens is when people go on the quarterback run, you got other good players sliding. You got other good players sliding. And they sliding down. You need to start picking off those good players that are sliding because of everybody overreacting to something somebody else doing. And like Tracy said, the tight end run, that normally happens too now. I've been noticing that. It's like Kelce will go, and then you'll see Waller go, and then next thing you know, Kittle and Andrews are coming off the board. No, if you don't get
one of those top three, Kittle, Waller, or Kelsey, you don't join the tight end caravan. You start filling in the rest of your roster. And then you hope
I appreciate them doing that. That makes my team stronger.
Exactly. So at 9-12, you don't panic at 9-12. You might have to adjust your game plan, but don't jump on the quarterback and the tight end bandwagon. Just do your thing and be confident in what you got going on. All right, Carl, coming to you first, bro. Give me an overrated player. We're going to do overrated first. Give me an overrated player that you think people are going to be jumping on this year in fantasy.
Amari Cooper.
God damn it, I drafted him this week.
he's not done anything in my mind. And maybe you, if y'all know better, correct me, please. But there's nothing that he's done to warrant, outside of what he did at Alabama, to warrant being, outside of his name and the star in his helmet to be your number one wide receiver on your team. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not draft the guy, but for me, he's like wide receiver number three on my fantasy team. I'm not looking for big numbers out of him because he just don't provide them. Or maybe he just get hurt too fast and before his numbers pile up. I don't know. But when I'm looking at my wide receivers, I don't even cue that guy. I can't do it. I think he's overrated.
All right, bro, I'm going to ask you a real football question concerning Amari. Do you think his production don't add up to his way he's getting paid?
No. No, bro. The dude is being paid to put up Michael Irvin kind of numbers. And the only reason that's happening is because their owner acts more like a fan than a GM.
Okay.
So
okay.
He's trying to appease the fan base.
Well, it's kind of funny.
That's what, real quick, and that's why CeeDee Lamb is going to take over.
And that's funny because, Washington was going to give him $20 million a year. No, they was going to give him 19, and then Jerry came out with 20, and I was glad because I was like, there's no way we should give this dude $20 million a year. Because if we really go back to the year before, not last season, but the year before, they benched him like three times, all in road games. He got benched against Philly. He got benched against the Patriots. And he got benched against somebody else. And I was like, bro, you can't be a number one wide receiver getting benched. No, that can't happen. Yeah, that can't happen, man. So,
yeah,
all right, Amari Cooper, I drafted him, and I have him as my wide receiver one in the draft we just did on Wednesday. So I'm kind of nervous now.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper. Okay. All right, Tracy, who you got is overrated, bro?
Okay, this dude, everybody seems to be in love with him. I don't like him, but they keep claiming he should be picked in the first round and all this other stuff. And it's Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts. And the reason, there's a few reasons I don't like him. If you just look at his numbers, they look pretty good. 1,169 yards, 11 touchdowns. But then if you look at his numbers, if you look inside the numbers, he got almost a third of his yards in two games. He got 403 yards in two games, and he got 40 touchdowns in two games. 253 yards came against the awful Jaguars in the last game of the season when they didn't care. Their coach was going to be fired. They basically was already gone fishing. They only played the game because they had to. So to me, he's overrated. The other thing that I take into consideration is their quarterback play. You think that if he has a better quarterback, then they can run better because it opens everything up. Phillip Rivers was pretty good last year. We're not really sure who the quarterback is going to be. I already know who it's supposed to be. But Carson Wentz gets hurt all the time. And then he plays really bad. I don't know if he's really going to change back to what he used to be or not. But I just feel like this Jonathan Taylor guy is overrated. People fell in love with him because of his ending numbers and not because of what he did during the entire season. So for me to pick him in the first round or second round, I'm not doing it. I can't do it.
Hey, Carl, did you draft him this week?
I drafted him, but not in the first round. I drafted him as my 13th pick in the second, you know, my second round pick.
Was it in the Wednesday
draft? And yeah. And the reason is, let me tell you something. And I'm proud of that pick because he was the best available running back on the board. I definitely needed a second one. But I think I looked at those numbers, like you said, and I said to myself, okay, yeah, his biggest numbers came in two games, but you know, what's this, his third, fourth year in the league? You got to turn the corner. If you don't turn the corner now, okay. He was out 1 year. Oh, I ain't looking at stats, but he was out 1 year. I know, or he was out. He was hurt. But either way, this is the time for him to take over. Like you said, we don't know who the quarterback technically is going to be. If he don't get it now, a la Zeke, if he don't get it now, he ain't going to get it at all.
Hey, Tracy, the only pushback I will have against Jonathan Taylor is he gets to play Jacksonville twice and he gets to play Houston twice, and Tennessee defense ain't that good either. You know what I'm saying?
Keep in mind, I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying that I think he's overrated. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to put up numbers. He'll be pretty good. Nothing against him. I just think for where he's being picked for me, and, yeah, you know how much I like running back. For me, I need to see it again. Then I'll take back what I said. But until then, I'll be seeing him.
For my overrated, I was going to go with Josh Jacobs for the Raiders. But I'm going to go with this guy, man, Kenny Golladay for the Giants. Everybody is hyping up Kenny Golladay like he's going to be like the next coming of Terrell Owens going to Philly. I don't see it.
I don't know why.
He's a big target. But the Giants offensive line is still bad. And the Giants got good wide receiver depth with Slayton and my man Shepard. And it's like, bad as their offensive line is and the way Kenny Golladay's game is set up, they're not going to have the time to throw the ball down the field for him. And Stafford was willing to throw him 50-50 balls. I don't see Daniel Jones doing that because he's a turnover machine. And I just don't see Judge putting up with him throwing 50-50 balls up to Golladay down the field and get interceptions thrown. I just don't like this fit for Golladay. I'm glad he got his money. But as far as fantasy-wise, I just think he's overrated, and I don't think he's going to do what the projections say he's going to do. I think Sterling and Slayton will probably have better years, but I'm just not feeling Golladay. Okay, Tracy, give me an underrated person.
All right, here's an underrated person that I haven't heard anybody else say, but I just kind of looking at numbers, I kind of feel like this guy not being talked about, and that's Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's been in the league 3 years. He's had awful coaching the entire time. Adam Gase in New York, awful, 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 awful. And even with all that awful coaching and missing games and everything else, he's averaged 15 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Not eye-popping numbers, but we've seen worse. I think the chain of scenery is going to help him. He's a young guy. He's only 23 years old. He's mobile. When he does run the ball, he gets at least 6 yards per carry. And think about this. This is the main reason I say look out for this guy. Teddy Bridgewater is far from being the greatest quarterback in the NFL. But last year for the Carolina Panthers, they had 3 wide receivers in the top 25. You don't necessarily think of Teddy Bridgewater when you think of big passing numbers. But you had DJ Moore that had nearly 1,200 yards. You had Robbie Anderson that had almost 1,100. You had Curtis Samuel who had over 800 yards. So So 2,000-yard pass receivers on one team is pretty good. And I personally think Sam Donald is going to be better than Teddy Bridgewater ever has been to this point. So I look for him to have a good year. I think, like I said, he's on the radar because nobody's talking about him. So I think that if you need a streamer or somebody like that, or you might even just get him on your bench and see how he pans out. But I think they got something in Carolina with that offense because they could still put up points and stuff like that. They struggled in the red zone, but I think he's going to have a good season because of the reasons I just said.
Okay, Sam Donald. I wrote it down. All right, Carl, who your underrated guy?
Man, you're going to love this, bro. We talked about it last year. But my underrated player is your Washington football team quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. That dude, I love that guy, bro. No, yeah, bro, I love Fitzpatrick. I love that dude. I don't love him stat-wise. but I'm talking about what he brings to a team, what he would bring to your team. You know, the leadership, just taking away stats, taking away fantasy, period, just what he brings to a team, he's going to bring stability to your team. Is that what you guys needed over there, stability, until you pass it over? But that guy, man, I know it from when he was down here with us with Jameis, and they benched Jameis when we knew it was the end for him. And Jameis, and Ryan was out there just slinging it around, you know, like he was doggone back in college, you know, slinging it for Harvard. The dude he's a journeyman. Yeah, I'm not disputing that. But you don't last this long in the NFL and one, not be smart, as in his mentality, but also his being physical and taking care of his body. But every team that he's played for, they want him. That's why he's been on six different teams. If he wasn't a good player, he would be out the league. The dude is underrated.
I think he's going to have a solid stat season, too. I think he was having a good season last year with Miami. Today, kind of stupidly benched him for Tua. And they was in the playoff hunt when they had Fitzpatrick at the helm, and then they took him out. I mean, to put in Tua. To me, that was a bad move, and he was having a good stat year last year. And I think with our team, with all the talent we're going to have around him, I have him as an RB. Like I said earlier, I got him as an RB2. I will play him definitely against bad defenses. That's just me. But my underrated guy, man, I was going to say Courtland Sutton, but, you know, Tracy kind of brought him up earlier. I'm going with Corey Davis, man, with the Jets, man. He's going to be the wide receiver one for a young quarterback. You know, he could be a possession receiver and also a red zone target. And with the Jets, they're going to be trailing a lot. So guess what that means? They're going to be throwing a lot. So guess who Zach Wilson is going to be throwing to? Him and probably Michael Carter. So I like Corey Davis as my underrated player. Last topic, man. Tracy. Now, Carl, coming to you. Who's your fantasy MVP this year?
I've been wrong about this for the last couple of years. I wanted my man.
We all have.
I just felt like Russell Wilson was gonna get it last year, big time. It was his time. His stats proved it. But then the whole team went kaput. So I almost wanna be like I'm in court and abstain. But I really think that not looking at stats, just off of football period, Aaron Rodgers, I think, might win the MVP again this year. One, I think he's pissed off because they drafted Love, and he went through the whole issue this offseason with the coaching staff and the organization. I think he's going to come out and just kill people. I mean, obviously, they got the offense, defense, and whatever. But if your defense sucks and you got somebody like Aaron Rodgers, that's better for you fantasy-wise because he's always on the field playing around, hurting you with his arm and his legs. I think he may win it again. I think this might be, what, his third time winning it? I'm not sure, being that I'm a Green Bay fan. But I think I drafted Aaron Rodgers in one of my leagues, saying to myself, this dude might be the MVP. I know he's pissed off at everybody.
Okay, so you got Aaron Rodgers being the MVP. All right, Tracy, what you got?
For me, I got Ezekiel Elliott. Reasons why, I think the line is going to be better. I hate picking the Dallas Cowboys. I can't stand the Dallas Cowboys themselves. But, I mean, it is what it is. I think his line is going to be intact this year, or at least better than it was last year. From what I've seen and heard, he's in great shape. He's lighter, block. You know how they say all these different things. Plus, he's on hard knocks and that type of stuff, so you kind of get to see a little bit of that. And then also you got Dak Prescott is back. And so that's going to take all that pressure off him that he probably felt last year. Remember, he had fumbleitis last year, so that was yet another issue. So I just think if he can get those things under control, he's got his line, he's motivated to be better. Because even in his bad season last year, he still averaged 4 yards a carry. He still had six touchdowns, and he had 52 receptions to go with that. So that's okay stats, but for somebody like him, you already know he can do better, and I expect that he will do much better this season.
All right, so surprisingly, we got Zeke, then we got Aaron Rodgers. I was torn between Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry. That being said, quarterback with 17 games and a running back with 17 games, I'm leaning towards Patrick Mahomes, man. I think Patrick Mahomes throws about 4,800 yards, 40-plus TDs, and he probably even add in a couple of rushing TDs. I think this is going to – but this is hard because Tampa Bay did get a blueprint of how to beat Kansas City. You got to play cover two and make Andy Reid run the ball a little bit. Will Andy Reid be stubborn and not run the ball? Or will Andy Reid be stubborn and throw the ball? I think Andy Reid is going to be stubborn and throw the ball, especially trying to be, what I want to say, smart alecky. That's why Patrick Mahomes is going to have big yards, but I think his interceptions go up this year. I think he has some big interception games where he throws maybe two or three interceptions in a game because of Andy Reid trying to be stubborn. But I'm going Patrick Reid being a fantasy MVP, man. I really wanted to go with Derrick Henry, but I think Derrick Henry ain't going to have as many carries with that extra game. And I think Vrabel is going to be smart with him this year and probably, you know, when they get big leads, probably sit him down instead of having him milk the clock, probably have somebody else come in, run the ball, and then play defense or whatever. But I'm going Patrick Mahomes being a fantasy MVP, man.
You know why that's probably a good pick? Is because you mentioned that Tampa Bay was able to set up a blueprint, but the thing we got to understand is that everybody else doesn't have Tampa Bay's talent. So they don't have that front-to-back talent that Tampa Bay has where they can do that. They might see the blueprint. One thing to see it is another thing to be able to execute. So I think as long as he plays in all 17 games, he'll probably make it to the passing yardage record too. Because they just determine the throw, just like you said, and I think that's not going to change.
All right, man. Well, once again, third annual fantasy football preview show. You know, me, my bro Carl, and my homeboy Tracy giving y'all these nuggets to help you succeed in your fantasy season, telling y'all which guys you need to have on your team, which guys you need not to have on your team, which players you need to target in the late rounds of the draft, what kind of draft strategies you should have. I'm going to throw out some of this information on Twitter after the show. And if you have any lineup questions, hit us up on Twitter, and we'll give y'all the best advice we can. And, hey, man, I want to thank my bro, Carl. Any last words, bro?
Bro, as usual, I appreciate and respect the conversation that we have every year via here, text, or call. that's great. Congratulations again from last year, but ain't no plan this year, buddy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Tracy got a championship in his first year.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This is second
year.
That was my second year, but yeah, I'm ready to repeat. I heard.
Okay,
what
okay, yeah,
it
was your second year. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
all right, Tracy, any last words?
Yeah, like I said, I'm
yeah,
ready to repeat. Felt good winning, so I'm gonna do everything I can to make it happen again. And so I'm just looking forward to a good season. Of course, it's good to chop it up with you guys and kind of get some different perspective from people's opinion you respect. And so I appreciate you having me, and I just look forward to seeing what happens this season, how our leagues play out.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to this season. You know, a lot of people, you know, winning your championship last year, people want to say it's COVID and put an asterisk up and all that. The hell with that. Everybody was trying to win last
exactly.
year, too. So go to hell with that. But, hey, once again, I appreciate you.
Every week.
Yeah. Once again, I appreciate you guys jumping up here with me. Probably talk with you two offline, and also my bro Jermaine about doing the weekly show again this year. You know, as far as like the start on the sit-ins, and we do some recaps and stuff like that. Tracy, I'll talk to you about that offline. And
okay.
You know, man, we had a good time with that last year, so we'll probably bring it back this year. Probably, I don't know. We probably might do a 30-minute show this year, call instead of an hour. We'll just probably jump right into our stardom and sit-ins, you know, just to get the people what they want instead of doing a whole 60-minute show. But, you know, I'll run that by you and bro. And like I said, I'm going to talk to Tracy about probably joining us too. We might probably just do, you know, some weeks if you can't make it, we'll have Tracy fill in. And then, you know, if Jermaine can't make it, you know, we'll have Tracy fill in. Or if I can't make it, I'll show you how to do it. But, you know, man, it's just fun talking fantasy football. In closing, you know, everybody be safe, protect yourself, social distance still, COVID is out there, positive people, positive energy, give positive results. And with that being said, Lee and Keys, Real Talk Fantasy Football Edition, preview, signing off. Everybody have a good evening, good weekend. Peace.
Peace.